Don't just exist. Live. Live on AWR SID Media.
Time for us to ask a pastor, our segment, which is dedicated to you sending your questions, and a pastor comes through to answer your question. And we do have Pastor Gregory Sarefo, who's going to be answering our question for today. Our question is, why is faith in Jesus necessary for salvation rather than simply living a moral life? Why is faith in Jesus necessary for salvation rather than simply living a moral life? Pastor Gregory Sarefo, good morning, good afternoon to you, and welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for having me.
Why is it faith? Why is faith in Jesus necessary?
When you talk about morality,
Pastor, are you still there?
Oh, all right. Yeah, I was hearing a bit of an echo. I was wondering if you can hear me, but I think it's better now.
Okay, yes, go ahead, please.
All right. Yeah. When you look at the issue of morality or choosing to do good, the Bible tells us the first reason that the Bible, or the main reason that the Bible advances for such, when you go to the book of Acts, it tells us in chapter 4, the disciples are arguing for the cause of Christ, verse 12, and they say there's no salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven that is given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So when you divorce good action from Christ and from belief and faith in Christ, it remains, or it is void of the essence of our being as people. We are called to be in relationship with God. We are called to be in obedience to God, and we are called to faith in this Christ, because we cannot find salvation in any other except that which is only found in this Christ Jesus. Yeah, and then Paul also continues to expound on this very issue. When we read in the book of Romans, chapter 3, and we look at verses 10 and 11. Let me just quickly open that passage of scripture.
Okay.
The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Paul is bringing our minds to this issue that, you know, we are not capable of righteousness, and or that which is of our own will and our own accord. God is the one who helps us in this, and we ultimately gain or receive salvation not because of our the best of our will to do that which is good, but because we have placed our trust and confidence and our lives in the hands of this Jesus Christ.
Okay. Mpunis, are we not able to have a relationship without this confession of this name, Jesus? Is there no way of having a relationship with God? Is it not possible that people who don't know Jesus could still have a relationship, a saving relationship with God?
I think that sounds a bit like an oxymoron to say I have a relationship with one that I don't know. Maybe to say one that I do not understand, I have a little bit of light about, yes, but to say, I'm thinking right now as that example of Paul gets to one city, is at Athens, and he finds them worshipping, and there's an inscription there to the unknown God.
Right, right.
And then Paul continues to argue for the cause of God in this very vein, you know. But to say having no understanding and all, yet we are saying, or having zero knowledge and zero...
No, just the name. Just the name. You know, yeah. God, but you just don't...
Yeah.
You don't... This name Jesus, you don't know this name Jesus. You just know that there is a God, and you worship that one true God. Is it not possible?
Sir, maybe I'm not understanding. Could you repeat the question?
My question, for instance, is based on the issue of the name. And there's a reason why I'm asking that. I'll share with you just after you give me the answer. But this name, Jesus, faith in Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus, is it an imperative? Are you not able to have a relationship with God without having a relationship with Jesus?
Well, without taking it out of the scope of our discussion, I hope I don't stretch it out too much or at all. But when we say, because in our understanding as Christians or Seventh Day Adventist Christians, we understand this twin God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and to say one has a relationship with God or has a knowledge of God and may have not made a confession of Christ. I mean, an example of one man, but this one makes places his confidence at the last minute. His life, he has not lived it in confession of Christ, or we have no scriptural evidence or reference of him ever confessing Christ at any point, but at the last minute he says, remember me in your kingdom, you know. So basically what I'm saying is, if we truly believe in God, if we truly have confidence in God, because trying to come back to the questionnaire, why is faith in Jesus necessary salvation and not just merely living a moral life?
Right.
If this moral life we are trying to live only in our own power and it is devoid of God, then it goes contrary to what the Bible says.
I hear you, Mfundisi. So my question is, a moral life that would be guided by God, but you don't know Jesus. Yeah, you don't have any relationship with Jesus, quite frankly. You want nothing to do with Jesus. You have no knowledge of that person, and but you have a relationship with God, and your morality is based on God's will. Is that not possible?
I honestly struggle to believe or to understand or to see a circumstance where that is possible.
Let me give you an example.
And I'm also speaking on the basis of my own personal first-hand experience, and that I do not think I've met anyone or interacted with anyone who'd say, you know, I know God, but I don't know Christ, or I have no knowledge of Christ.
I'll give you an example. I'll give you a biblical example. Before Matthew and the events narrated in Matthew, and before the pregnancy of Mary, we had people believing in God and having a relationship with God, and their morality was based on the will of God, and there was no Jesus. I would love to believe, if we accept the authenticity of the Torah, the Tanakh in its entirety, then I would love to believe, as a layperson, you can correct me, Funis, I'd love to believe that those men had a relationship with God. All the prophets that precede Jesus, including John the Baptist, they had a relationship with God. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They don't know Jesus. This name by which we all claim is a saving name is not necessary, because they too were having a relationship with God without this name Jesus. And I want to give you a text that is blunt, Mfundisi, that comes from the Almighty Yahweh himself in the book of Exodus, as he's engaging Moses to go and liberate the Israelites. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. Verse 2 and 3. In fact, verse 2 up until 5. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But, and that's the issue that I want you to address in Funis, but by my name, the Lord, in other versions says Yahweh or Elohim, I did not make myself fully known to them. So they know me, but I didn't give them my name. And then verse 4 says, I also established my covenant with them. So these people who don't fully know God, according to God's declaration, they now have a covenant that God is establishing with them. A covenant with a God they don't fully know. Verse 4 says, I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. So they went on to benefit from a covenant with a God they don't fully know. They don't even know his name, according to verse 3. Verse 5 says, moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Remember, this is a covenant with a people who don't know this God fully. They don't even know his name. And that is where I am basing my question, Funis. Is it not possible for us today to be as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were, to have a relationship with God, to be saved by God? God hears our prayers. We have a covenant with God, but we don't know this name, Jesus.
Thank you for that. I think when we go back to into the Old Testament, like citing examples of the prophets, as you have cited, and even quoting John himself, they may have not had a relationship with, or have not known this Jesus Christ in terms of relation with him or interaction with him or anything of that sort. However, we can trace back, because if we believe the fact that the Old Testament does make reference or prophesy of a Messiah who is Christ himself who comes, we see that even in the services that these people of God were engaging in, they were engaging in services of the sanctuary, which pointed forward to the coming of this Messiah being Christ, who does not just start in the service of the sanctuary, but we can still go back even further to the book of Genesis, where the Lord says in Genesis 3:15 that there's this seed of the woman who will come to bring
who will crush the head of the snake.
Yeah, you know, and all of that. Coming back to where you landed in Exodus chapter 6. Yes, God, he has established this covenant, and here are these people who are following this covenant, and they've entered into this covenant, and as you have rightly said, they do not fully understand him. They do not fully know him. Yet there is some revelation of himself. That
and they don't even know the name. God even acknowledged the issue of the name.
And then the issue of the name, you know, that, you know, they don't know my name. But I've revealed some level of myself to them. And they, on the basis of that, I've entered into covenant with them.
Right.
And now coming to the question, what can the same not be true in our time?
Right.
You know, that one could have some revelation of God, some revelation, but not maybe know this name Jesus.
Right, right.
Can they then not have salvation?
Right.
I think I will agree that one may, but like I've said from my own limited interactions, I have not come across any such. But I want to believe that just as that man on the cross was, well, he believed at the very last minute. But
right.
God has his own way. In fact, the Bible, Acts 17, it says, at the times of this ignorance, in the times of the lack of knowledge, be it of the name of Jesus or be it of whatever element of God or godliness, God does wink at it. That says the Bible, you know. Yeah, so if one lives their lives and they have believed in God based on the little that they know, maybe it is not even inclusive of the name of Jesus.
Right.
God is the one that ultimately then gives this salvation.
So you can have a saving relationship with God without the name Jesus.
Without the name Jesus, but yeah.
Okay. All right, we're finished. So the question now that we are dealing with is exactly on those lines, Funis. Why then? Why is faith in this name that seems not to be all the time necessary? Why is faith in Jesus necessary for salvation? Why do Christians make this faith in Jesus necessary for salvation? If we now know, if we accept that it has happened and it is the case with the patriarchs of our faith, our founding fathers in the faith, all Abrahamic religions, whether you're calling the Baha'is or the Muslims that came before them or Christians who came before them and the mother body, the Judeo-Hebraic community, all of them accept Abraham and his descendants to be the ones who charted the path. And yet this Abraham didn't know these names we are touting. Whether you're going to tout the name of Muhammad or Baha'u'llah or Yeshua, they don't know these names these young people are talking about. All they know is that this is the God, the provider. They don't know these other, they don't even know the name Yahweh. All they know is when I was about to kill my son, this God, this Jireh, provided a lamb. So the list can go on. For instance, again, give you examples. So why is it that Christians are insisting that the name Jesus is necessary for salvation?
Yeah, all right. Let me go revert back to the text I quoted in the book of Acts. It says, at the time of a lack of knowledge, God will forgive, or God forgives. However, it's not pointing to willful ignorance, and it does not point to an intentional rebellion and rejection of Christ. It talks of having not had, like you are pointing to these people who interacted with the signs that point to Christ, the shadow. They believed that God has told us. God has instructed us, we need to get this lamb. I need to carry it to the sanctuary. I need to do this. And the Bible itself continues to say that all these things were a shadow of things to come. And these things all find fulfillment in who? In Jesus Christ. These people did not willfully say, no, I know you, God. I believe you, God. Why should I carry the lamb? Why should I pull it? They obeyed, and these things were pointing to Jesus Christ, right? Now, to come to our time and age, when we know, having a revelation, for one who does not know, and one who has not had that revelation, God would forgive. Or from what the Bible tells us, God would forgive us, or God would give salvation to us.
Mm.
But today we will then knowingly and willfully ignore it, simply because I believe that I believe in God, it's sufficient. I do not need the name of Christ. Then that is willful ignorance and rebellion.
May I respectfully ask, Mfundis, when you are quoting Acts 17:30, surely we appreciate that Acts 17:30 is not referring to the ignorance of the name.
Mm.
It speaks to practices and behaviors that did not lead to repentance. The actual verse, as we read it, says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So his issue is about repentance. God overlooked people's ignorance about the things in earlier times, not the name. But now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. So the author of the book of Acts, whether you want to call it Luke or what, doesn't matter for now. The author appears to be addressing the issue of people who may have committed sin unknowingly.
Uh-huh.
And God pardons sins that were committed unknowingly. And we know he even regulates the issue of people sinning unknowingly in the book of Leviticus.
Mm-hmm.
So this text I am submitting for this that does not speak to the issue of the name. So God is not winking ignorance on the name.
Mm.
He is winking ignorance on people who may have committed sin unknowingly.
Mm.
Am I wrong?
No. And it is in that very vein, and it is in that very same spirit in which I have submitted that statement, that verse, as I have. Because we are saying unknowingly, when God, going back to the text that you pointed out, that
right.
God had not revealed his name, but there are bits of himself
right.
that he had revealed, right?
Right.
And they enter into covenant on the basis of that which has been revealed to them and that which they know.
Mm.
They enter into this covenant. And we are saying the same in that we cannot then qualify that to say, even when we know, we can still say no, God will wink at it, and we will have or get this salvation simply because no, I believe in God, I know God, because that would not be unknown, it would be willful ignorance.
Of what, Mfundis?
Willful ignorance of what we are called to, which is faith and belief in Christ Jesus.
Are we called in called to faith, to have faith in Jesus, or in the faith of Jesus, Mfundis? I'm making this distinction because it appears as though the focus now is no longer on the will of God. It appears as though we are idolizing the fleshly manifestation of a divine God. If we concede and consent to the proposition that Jesus is not God in and by himself, he is not a third deity. Jesus is God incarnate.
Yeah.
And as such, we don't revere the flesh that rotted in the tomb and that had to be resurrected. We revere the God that this flesh is representing. So whether it is revering God in the person of Jesus Christ, but we need to accept that it is not the person, but God that we are worshiping.
And
as such, the name of the person becomes irrelevant. He simply is a representation of God on earth. He's not a different God competing for attention with God, quote unquote, the Father.
And what you are saying is very much in line with the very point that I have been making, or that I made earlier, when I said I would not want to diverge from the main point of conversation here, because if we come to believing and accepting or agreeing with the biblical teaching of who God is.
Right.
We will understand that there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right. So that is essentially the point that you're making, which I made earlier.
Yes. So the reference that you're talking about, Mfundis, is very interesting because our question speaks only about Jesus. And I think the sentiment that the person is trying to debunk, if I were to read between the lines, is the absolute necessity in people focusing on just the person of Jesus. And yet Jesus is merely a representative, a physical manifestation of God. And this spirit that we are referring to as the Holy Ghost is the means by which God operates, not an entity in and by itself. Why do we pursue people worshiping just one of the three entities when we accept that we are saved by God? Can we not accept that it doesn't matter which of these three manifestations or three understandings of God, as long as we bow down to this one God who operates through the Holy Spirit and manifested in that year over 2,000 years ago as a human being, a Jewish boy? It's not the Jewishness that we're talking about. It's not the maleness that we're talking about. It is not the 33 years and a half that he lived on earth that we're talking about. We're talking about God choosing in that era, in that geographic territory, to manifest himself as that Jewish boy. And it should not be the Jewish boy that should be the area of focus, but God who chose to be among men, Emmanuel. So again, the person I suspect is asking, why? Why is it necessary for Jesus specifically? And not just Jesus among his contemporaries in the Godhead.
I think if we then understand it in that vein, I will agree with the submission that you've made that to divorce Christ from the Godhead and have him as a standalone and say we are then saved by that Christ,
yes,
and not by believing only in God,
right,
as if there's a separate God there.
Absolutely.
Then that one becomes a problem.
Right.
The Bible says it is the gift of God is eternal life,
yes,
through Christ Jesus.
Right.
So it is God, Christ one,
right,
giving eternal life to humanity.
Right.
And not God versus Christ, and then
absolutely,
one will give you eternal life and salvation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Mfundisi, I think our conversation today was smoother than yesterday's conversation.
Yeah,
I appreciate Mfundisi, you agreeing to come and teach us as lay people. We always are going to stumble, and your patience with us and continuing to teach us in spite of the fact that we're stumbling right in front of you is much appreciated, Mfundisi. Please have a good day. I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Thank you for an opportunity to serve. God bless you.
Ngosi Mfundisi.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.